Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from the bright red desk on the Upper East Side of the Isle of Manhattan in the city of New York, in the state of New York, in the country of the United States, here on planet Earth. And what we're doing tonight is we're going to talk about the energy of the week ahead, how you can use it, what it's about, what the energy brings to bear, and forward we go. Back to a two-page week, which means it's not going to be quite so wild as last week was. And last week just was just a lot of stuff. I kind of felt like I ran from pillar to post. And, okay, I finished here. Okay, now run over here. Okay, then I finished there. And I'm like, okay, now run over there. And this week a little more quiet, but the eclipse points do get triggered. And the beginning of the week is a little dramatic. Okay, so we're going to have a little lesson on occultations. Thanks to Ed, who wrote and went, Ann, what are occultations? Because he'd found something on the internet. So I wrote back to Ed, and I told him what an occultation was. And I thought, well, because we're having one this week, it would be good to tell the rest of you, too. So what an occultation is when a planet goes and hangs out really tightly, i.e. on the same latitude of the Earth above and below the equator. So, you know, you've got moon there, you've got planet there, and they're on the same latitude, which means they're talking to each other. They're right at the same level. And, you know, you've watched the heavens sometimes where you've seen the moon, and you've seen Jupiter kind of near it, or Venus kind of near it, and it's like the moon, and then there's a star. Well, when it's an occultation, it's right smack dab in the middle of it, right on it. And when it happens, it tends to make a very... In the case of the moon, an occultation of the moon, it tends to make it a very big emotional relationship between the two, of the two planets meeting. When it's with the sun, because planets can occult the sun also, it tends to make a very big ego reaction, because the sun is our ego energy. So when I was talking about this with my assistant when we were answering emails, because she reads them and I answer, and, you know, I'm working on stuff and she's typing and, you know, it's efficient. So I was explaining it to her and she's kind of like, okay, so what is that again? So think of it as, you know, when you watch those movies or you're at those dramatic moments in a movie, right? So an occultation to the sun, meaning the ego gets bigger. Whatever the planet is that comes and hits it gets bigger and activates it because it's on it. Right? And think Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. I don't know. I don't do a really good Jack Nicholson imitation. But, you know, when he does that really powerful scene with Tom Cruise, and the two of them are like, he's like, did you order the code red? Yes, I did. You know, the ego takes over, and it loses a little bit of control. Right, because it's just out of, because it's got the planet there firing it up. Now, when it comes to the moon, okay, and these three occultations are to the moon, and some people call it not just occultations, sometimes they call it eclipsed, too, when it comes to the sun, that the planet gets eclipsed. But occultation I kind of like a little better because they're little, you know, and if you've ever seen a Mercury occultation on the sun, there's this huge sun, and then there's this little dark planet, you know, a little dot, black spot kind of running across the front of the sun like a cockroach. And it's little. You know, Mercury's really little, and when it occults the sun, it goes zoom. Now, it's different than combustion, which is another whole thing. We'll do that another time. But occultation means they're in an exact same latitude, and they meet up, and they kind of run across each other. You know, they bump into each other, and we have an emotional reaction. So this week, we have three. We have Venus today at 8:34 p.m., so you can stay tuned and watch after the show, kind of pay attention to what goes on tonight, 8:34 p.m. Eastern, adjust for your time zone. And then tomorrow, we have two occultations, one at 3:48 p.m., that's with Mars, and then one at 7:20 p.m., that's with Mercury. So now remember, think about this. They're all hanging out with the eclipse, right? We all saw them all kind of lined up there with the node of fate. That means they're all kind of running on the same track. And then this week, they're all running across Mars. Venus is running across the Mars in Leo. And Mercury and Mars are running across the moon in Virgo. So the moon in Leo meet up, and the moon in Mars. Now, what happens if they're at the same declination, they're at the same degree of the zodiac? They can be separated by declination. They don't have to be at the same degree of occultation. You know, they're not at the same degree of latitude. They're in the sky, and they're near each other, and that's when you see the sun near the moon, or the moon, a star near the moon, you know, the pretty crescent moon in Jupiter there, or Venus. You go, oh, Venus, moon. But when they're right on top of each other, they're having a little face-off, or they're having a little emotional reaction. So the moon is emotional reactions, okay? So moon-Venus is an emotional reaction to love or creativity or whatever in Leo. And then the occultation tomorrow with Mars and Mercury in Virgo is getting stuff done and emotionally being responsive to Mars. Maybe a little criticism, too, you know, because it's in Virgo, after all. And we Virgos do like to criticize. I know it's just part of our – we're trying to make you better. That's why we tell you how you can do better. But so with the Mercury-Mars occultation that happens on the 18th and then tonight's Venus-Moon occultation – when it comes to the moon, it's an emotional reaction. Okay, it's not an ego-based, like Jack Nicholson. That was all ego. Emotional is you're overwhelmed. Emotional is you're feeling it really big. Emotional is that moment in the movie where everybody cries, right? Or everybody goes. So, or they are having a huge emotional reaction. And of course, emotions can go up and down. And so an emotional reaction is in Network, when that guy goes, I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. Very emotional reaction. Not about his ego. He's emotionally upset. Another good example is the movie To Kill a Mockingbird, where the courtroom empties and Atticus is packing up his stuff. Townspeople all leave. The balcony is full of black people, and they say, stand up, Scout, your father's passing. And the whole group of them stand up to honor Atticus for his work, right? So, you know, and of course, tear-jerking moment. Emotional reaction, an emotional punch, an emotional oomph. So occultations have that impact. And because they're at the same, they line up exactly, they're a little bigger than just regular conjunctions, you know, because a conjunction is they're at the same zodiac degree, but they can be anywhere in it. They don't have to be anywhere. They can be anywhere in the declination, above or below the eclipse. They're not necessarily meeting, but this is kind of like a double meeting. So they're meeting by degree, but they're also meeting by latitude. And that's big, because when stuff's on the face of Earth, we really feel it. And declination is not something that a lot of people do. I mean, some people do it, and it's really helpful. I always look at people's declinations to see if they have planets that are out of bounds or planets that are joined by declination, because that tends to make them it's kind of a secret relationship they have, because it's not like, you know, the stuff we see with squares, trines, you know, oppositions. But it is a really important relationship, because it can be two planets that can be arguing even though you think they're supposed to be getting along, because they're at different declinations and opposite, you know, counter parallel. Or they can be acting like they're married even though they're not anywhere looking like they're married at all, but they respond kind of simultaneously because they're at the same declination. Information on this, there's a declination SIG, Special Interest Group of NCGR, and they give you information and training, and also if you just Google declination, it's kind of a hidden aspect, very powerful. And I can remember one of my students looking at her chart and going, oh, I get it now. I have a Venus-Pluto declination, Venus-Pluto conjunction by declination, which is why I always have some kind of triangles in my relationships. Because she couldn't figure out why her Venus gave her so much trouble. And, of course, it was with Pluto. So she went, oh, I got it now. So this week we start the week off with these occultations. And then right behind it we have Venus getting to the degree of the eclipse. So she's going to trigger the eclipse point. Now, she's a little nicer than Mars, which was Harvey. Right? We had Harvey. That was Harvey. Irma did Mercury. And September 5th, news being revealed. Venus is up there now, so we're going to watch for a female to emerge. Of course, Hillary is kind of all over the news these days. She's not really Venus, though, because she's a little older, but she is about women. And we'll see what shows up in the next couple days, because as Venus hits the eclipse degree, we're ready to roll. Now, they also have a new moon on Wednesday. And here in the new, we were prepping. I have a new moon webinar tomorrow night, Monday night, from 7:30 to 9:30, available to sign up on my website, about the new moon in Virgo on Wednesday, okay? And Rose and I were prepping the slides for it. Actually, Rose was prepping, I was reviewing. Rose does a lot of work. So does Kate. I don't want to minimize Kate's work either. But one of the images that the Sabian image had was the Sabian image for the new moon is, hang on, I'll pull it up. At 27 Virgo is a bald-headed man dominates a gathering of national figures. Now, here in New York, you guys don't live in New York, but in New York in September, the last week of the middle of sometime in September, everybody comes to New York to meet at the UN. And it's kind of a zoo. Traffic is just a friggin' nightmare. You know, there's limos everywhere. There's cops stopping things, barricades. You know, important people are going through now. Stand back, stand back. We get a lot of world leaders in, and they all come and join and hang out. And so we're having that this week, and of course there's the new moon at 27 Virgo, with a bald-headed man dominates a gathering of national figures. So unless Donald shaves his head, it's not going to be him. I don't think he's going to shave his head. I think he's kind of into the comb over. But Putin's bald, right? Or it could be some other bald guy. So we got to watch for a woman with the occultation of Venus. We got to watch for Mars and Mercury, which is some kind of news or some kind of information. Mercury, of course, is communication in this young people. Mars is angry young men or men, military, can also be military. And then we got the bald guy, and it's not the guy in Korea. He's got hair, too. So you got to think about who your bald leaders are. France's guy and Canada's guy's got hair. Prince William is bald, you know, but I don't think he's coming to talk to them. And I don't know. We'll see who it is. So watch the news, because the charts are saying it's a big week for that kind of stuff. And, of course, the occultations make it emotional. And then, of course, Venus hits that bad point. So there's a woman in the eclipse story, and then there's the bald-headed guy. So we don't have any bald presidents. George has hair. Obama has hair. Clinton has hair. Carter has hair. So it's none of our guys. Donald has hair. I mean, it could be one of our military people that's bald. So we'll have to hang out and see who shows up. But anyway, that's the degree. And it's down in the third house of writing and communication in the chart cast for Washington. So watch for bald-headed men in the news, too. It's kind of like this is astrology mystery game. I love it when this kind of stuff happens, because you're like, okay, so, like, who else is bald-headed that could be showing up that's part of this, going to be somehow in the news this week? And so we'll have to see who shows up. We also have a lot of – so, anyway, so the new moon is on Wednesday, and the manifestation circle, which you can also – if you can't come on Monday night, you can also buy it and listen to it at your leisure. And we talk about working with the energy of the new moon as it unfolds. And this is a particularly potent new moon because it has 1, 2, 3 T-squares, 1, 2, 3 grand trines, a finger of God, 2 kites, 2 almost kites, a mystic rectangle, a hard rectangle, 3 Rosettas, and 2 Healy's. It's a very complex and complicated lunar picture, which means complex and complicated week. All right? When this kind of energy is flying around in the heavens, and everything's a little more complicated. But it's only a 2-page week, so it shouldn't go that fast. But it will definitely have a story. So when we were looking at the bald-headed man, we were kind of like, okay, so who is it? So John McCain, of course, is bald-headed, so it could be him. And then John Kelly is bald-headed, the guy who's running the White House. And, of course, Putin is bald-headed. So those are 3 candidates, or maybe more. I think Bernie has a head of hair. I don't think it's him. So we'll watch. Then this is astrology in action. This is how you get, like, really hooked. Because you're going to go, she's talking about some bald-headed man being in the news, really important, and it's in the third house of speeches and communication and connection. So watch for bald-headed people, bald-headed men. in front of nations, nation capitals. So somebody in the UN too, possibly. So what we're going to do the rest of the week is kind of recover from the beginning of the week. And the new moon, of course, in Virgo, now you've had these eclipses. They've kind of wiped out whatever needs to leave in your life, because that's what they do. And they said, release, release, let go of this old energy. Go forward to your heart's path, whatever the dream is. Give yourself a new dream, build and create again, right? That Leo North Node. And we're being pulled in that direction. So Venus stationing, or Venus crossing over the eclipse path, sets it off. Now, this last week, she hit the nodes a couple times, which made this week kind of have some nice energy in it. And then she hits the eclipse degree, and so she reminds us what the eclipse is for and about, and she says, are you really following your passion? And then she slips into Virgo and becomes a working girl instead of party and play. Of course, Mars and Mercury are already in Virgo, so they're working, and Mercury loves Virgo. Mars not so much, but he does have a really good to-do list. So I was talking to a friend who's moving, and she's like, I've got this to-do list, and I just keep checking things off. So always good with Mars and Virgo to have a list and check it twice and just kind of power through it, because you really can. So we'll see who the bald-headed man is, and we'll see who the women are in the news, because big week for them too. And now you know about occultations. So it also means if people have planets at those degrees, right, they're going to be very emotional. Because what these do is they kind of hit like a little sonic boom. You know, remember sonic booms when you were a kid? We don't really seem to have them anymore. But there used to be these booms, and the windows would rattle, you know, and it would go, oh, and you'd be like, wow, what was that? That was a boom. So we've got these occultations Sunday and Monday, which should bring up big emotional reactions. So either deep outpouring of emotional feelings or deep reaction emotionally, you know, like the guy in Network, I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. Watch for that. And the Leo one, of course, on Sunday is a little more creative. The one on work is tomorrow. A lot of times when we have planets occult the moon, there's layoffs or there's some kind of emotional reaction to in the stock market or emotional reactions to things where people go, oh, my, oh, my. And you kind of go, yep, oh, my is right. So we'll see what this week makes for us. Okay, so let's do the moons. This is the week of September 17th. So right now the moon is in Leo, and it goes void at 8:55 p.m. with a trine to Uranus. And then it enters Virgo bright and early at 12:52 a.m. tonight, Monday, you know, Sunday night into Monday morning. It's in Virgo all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday until goes void, or Wednesday night until it goes void at 1:30 in the morning. And then it goes into Libra at 6:06 a.m. So Wednesday it's in Libra, Thursday it's in Libra. It goes void at 9:04 on Friday. And then the going void at 9:04 is an opposition, moon in Libra, opposition Uranus. So it's a separating aspect. The new moon, of course, is a conjunction. And so it joins, the sun and the moon join. So conjunctions can be good or bad. They're new beginnings, but they also represent an ending. And then, of course, the opposition is separating aspects. Then moon is void in the morning on the 22nd for the morning until 1:40 in the afternoon when it enters Scorpio. And then it's in Scorpio Friday afternoon, evening, Saturday, and Sunday, going void at 3:33 in the morning, but it's void all day Sunday. And then it enters Sagittarius at 12:01 a.m. on the 25th. The void aspect on the 24th, the Scorpio void, is moon sextile Mercury. So that's good news, good information, new ideas. So Monday, Tuesday, good. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, separating. Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, all void all day Sunday the 24th, but void in a nice closing aspect. So, and the void day is all day Sunday. The void times are 9:04 to 1:40 on Friday. And then on Wednesday the 20th, it's void in the morning from 1:30 in the morning to 6:06, which affects our European listeners. It also is the week Rosh Hashanah happens. So Rosh Hashanah takes place right after the new moon on the 20th, and also the sun enters Libra on Friday the 22nd, where we begin the fall season officially. And as the sun goes into Libra at 4:02 p.m. on the 22nd, this is one of those days where you can go out and put an egg on the sidewalk and it'll stand up on its head. And then after the sun gets across the equator, for about a half an hour, it'll kind of tip over and not stand up. So it's very cool if you've never done it. This is one of, and it's a daylight cross, daylight crossing of the equator. So try it. It's very cool because the sun and the earth are perfectly balanced, and the gravitational forces of the sun's face on the earth is perfectly balanced. So the egg doesn't tip over. How cool is that? And then the days get longer, and the days get shorter, and the nights get longer, by a minute each. Boom, boom, boom. And so we have this story, this wrap-up, this conclusion of the season of summer as we enter the fall. And, of course, our friends in the southern hemisphere begin their season of spring, because now the earth is, the sun is going to be closer to the bottom part of the earth. So we have that change take place. We also, of course, have Venus going into Virgo, and that happens right after she pops the eclipse degree on the 18th. She enters Virgo at 9:15 p.m. on the 19th. Now, when she goes into Virgo, she does suddenly get a little more fussy and a little more paying attention to things and interested in health and how all that works. Enough with the party. I know in my case, my birthday, you know, I usually have a birthday month, right? But I'm trying to really lose some weight and get healthier and do all that kind of stuff. And so I was kind of like, all right, when can I really start adhering to the new health program, right? Not that I haven't been adhering, but there's a lot of birthday cake that comes my way during my birthday week. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll do it when Venus goes into Virgo. So, you know, there's a lot of cake in my refrigerator, too. So I'm not, and chocolate, some really, really good chocolate that Diana brought me from Japan, this Japanese chocolate place. So I'm kind of like, I don't have to eat the chocolate. I know I can hold chocolate for a long time in my house, but the gluten-free oatmeal raisin cookies, really hard. And that wonderful raspberry cake with the pink frosting that they brought to Access Astrology last week, it's hard, you know, man. It's just not, this is not a chart that deprives itself, unfortunately. And I do have a good life, but I do want a long life, and I do need to lose some weight, or I'm going to be old and fat for the rest of my life. So we're trying to change that. Anyway, I'm starting the diet on Tuesday when the Venus goes into Virgo. No excuses. And, of course, it's a new moon in Virgo, which is a health placement, and it aspects my chart very nicely. So let's look at the rest of the week for you guys. So we did the moons. Now we're going to do the sun. The sun, of course, is in Virgo, 25 Virgo, and he goes into Libra, as I mentioned before, on the 22nd at 4:01 in the morning, or 4:01 in the afternoon, rather, 4:01 p.m., and then he goes to 2 Libra. So any planets between 26, 28, 7, 28, 29 get activated. Now, of course, the sun is going to activate that eclipse degree, going to activate it on the 20th and the 21st, going to activate it by a semi-sextile. But this is how we learn astrology, is we watch when these degrees re-trigger things. So Saturn's going to come back and trigger it. Uranus is going to come back and trigger it. Whenever anything hits 28, then the next 2.5 years, well, probably not. We'll probably move on to another eclipse before that happens. But we're going to watch because this is a hot degree in the sky. So the sun going from the sign of Virgo, which is all about doing stuff, and going into Libra, which is all about beauty and grace. But, of course, Venus is in Virgo. So she's beauty and grace with a dedication and a devotion and a paying attention as opposed to a tra-la, tra-la, let's have a good time. Mercury, so the sun goes those degrees, and he also has an opposition to Chiron on the 19th, provoking some healing. He has a new interaction with Uranus on the 20th, where he breaks free of something bright and early on the morning of the 20th. Do be careful on the 20th about strange and sudden things happening in your life, that first thing in the morning or bright and early. because that Sun Uranus is often an accident energy. It doesn't have to be, but, you know, we do know it's right around the when the Venus hits that eclipse point. On the 21st, the Sun and Ceres are sextile, so that's a lot about creative projects and beginning things. And the Sun is biquintile to the South Node on the 22nd, which is a creative project coming to fruition or getting unexpected help from someone on doing something you need to do. And then there's an easy-peasy ending on September 23rd when the Sun trines at Medos and it says, okay, we're finished here, part two. We're finished with this chapter. And so kind of think about what you're releasing and letting go as you leave summer behind and head into fall. Mercury runs from 8 Virgo to 19 Virgo. He's going pretty fast because he's finished with his retrograde and he's out of there and he's history. He passes the degree of his station on the 19th, which is the same day that Ceres or Venus whacks the eclipse point. Now remember, Mercury was retrograde for the eclipse, which helped us have a pretty dramatic eclipse story. Went direct. Mercury stationed on the eclipse degree on 28 Leo on the 5th of September, and now he's finishing up with the story of his shadow, which usually means we have a little finishing information, new ideas. We get a kind of aha moment. You know, in the culture, you know, I was paying attention to Mercury, and it was, what do we call people? So there's this controversy about a sportscaster on ESPN who called Trump a racist. And, of course, Hillary's out there calling him a racist and a misogynist. And so it's kind of like, okay, so what's happening here, Mercury in Virgo, right? Paying attention. Watch the collective. Watch what the words are. Because now as Mercury rules goes direct, why can't we call him that? That's okay. You know, there's an understanding of, well, that's who he is, so let's name it. Right, and Mercury, of course, is in Virgo, so he is precise, and he does want to communicate. He does have an aspect, a stressful aspect, with Jupiter on the 18th and 19th, which is probably, if there's going to be any action taken on the woman who called him a racist, that'll be when it happens. And then Mercury is opposite Neptune on the 19th, which is, you know, an ending, or it's also an accounting of the money and the costs, and also that's hurricane energy, Mercury-Neptune. That's Jose, who's wandering out in the Atlantic Ocean, not really doing anything with land, but kind of wandering up the coast. So he got the Mercury job of the four hurricanes coming. Katya's next. She's a girl. She's getting the Venus. As Venus goes into Virgo and comes up the hill. We also have Mercury aspecting Uranus on the 20th, which is a lot of energy around ideas, breakthroughs, seeing things in a new way, and breaking patterns on the 20th as Mercury trines Pallas Athena in Taurus. Like, understanding your patterns is really important to be able to change them. I went to see Kinky Boots last week with one of my friends, and, you know, the end of the last song is, if you change your mind, you change your life. And I'm like, oh, that's a really nice theme song. I'm going to have to remember that. As we mentioned already, the British lady is telling me I'm running out of time. Mercury's trining. I was very chatty today. Mercury's trining Pluto, which on the 22nd, which is a power struggle or a power grab. And then Venus, of course, this week, very active. She's got a trine to Uranus on the 18th. She hits that eclipse degree on the 18th, 19th. And we are in for a little hoo-ha. And then she goes into Virgo bright and late, on 9:15 on the 19th, Wednesday. And then she gets much more serious when she enters Virgo. And then she gets to 5 Virgo, and significant next week, and that is her square to Admetos on the 20th, where she ends a relationship, and her sesquiquadrate and opposition to Pluto on the 21st, where she calls out a triangle, and she says, I'm not putting up with this anymore. She also has a trine to partnership planet on the 24th, wanting to partner. Mars in Virgo, Virgo 7 to Virgo 12, most significant is his opposition to Neptune on the 24th, and we also have a little bit of a stress with Jupiter on the 20th through the 23rd. So it's a little bit of an overdoing. Mars, of course, is very self-critical or very critical of others. So this is a week, if you can't think of something nice to say to someone, probably don't say it, because this is the week when they're going to remember what you said. Vesta enters Libra on the 18th. So we're going to see that as a story. And Ceres enters Leo on the 24th, and we ran out of time. I should time myself at the front so I don't talk too much. But Uranus Squares series, so we're going to sign off with a great week. Sign up for the New Moon webinar if you would like. It's going to be tomorrow night, Monday night. And, of course, it'll be recorded and sent out. And the New Moon is on Wednesday, so do your rituals. And it's a Virgo New Moon, so it's all about the list, the plan, and, of course, whoever the bald-headed man is in front of the national gathering. I'm thinking Putin. But anyway, we'll see who it is. Have a great week, folks. See you all next week on the show, and take care. Bye-bye.